This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey folks, it's Jake Miller from The Drive, and Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 20DRIVE. That's 20DRIVE at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a Friday afternoon. The weekend is here, and that means only one thing. We are at National Rx, Farragut's Neighborhood Community Pharmacy in West Knoxville this afternoon. I got Jake Miller here with me. I got my son here with me, my executive assistant. No offense, Jake, you've been replaced.
Good.
I've got...
You got a little Sandy Koufax out there, huh?
And we got Jim Frost out here, the whole National RX gang. And there is rumor. I hear a rumor that at some point today, none other than Roger will be making an appearance. If you want any of that piping hot Jeff pizza, better get it now, is all I'm going to say.
I mean, we had the whole situation at the old Ben Franklin. Remember he ate all that pizza he ate?
I'm just saying, you want any Jets pizza, you better eat it now. We appreciate them. They hooked us up today out here at National RX. And all right, here we go. We will be keeping an eye on Hoover. I think I've got this right. And listen, you know, we love Tennessee baseball. Said before, I don't follow I don't know a ton about the other teams. I know Texas A&M is pretty good, and we play LSU tonight. I think they're pretty good.
Pretty decent ball club.
Yeah, a worthy opponent.
Yeah.
Unlike those clowns from West End last night.
Well, I mean, we're in the top of the third here. Vanderbilt's going to have first and third with no outs, but it's 1-0 Kentucky.
All right, so as I understand it, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong.
Marcus is on it over here.
Tennessee plays LSU tonight. This is game 12 of the tournament. Roughly a 9 p.m. start is what we're hoping for. It's going to be a late one, folks. Put on a pot of coffee. If Tennessee wins, they will move on to take on the winner of game 14, which is a loser's bracket game, tomorrow afternoon in Hoover. Now, if Tennessee loses, we have to play twice tomorrow. We would play against the winner of game 10 going on right now between Vanderbilt and Kentucky. And if you win that one, we would have to play LSU again. Is that everybody's understanding of how this works?
Yes.
That does seem to be correct. According to the NCAA website, which was updated today, it does say that on Saturday, May 28th, tomorrow, the SEC tournament will return to single elimination play.
Mm-hmm.
Which that would change things then.
So everything you said about who plays who, Russ, is correct. If we do win, we would play the winner of game 14, which game 14 is going to be between the winner of game 10 and the loser of game 12. Which is LSU and whoever wins between Vanderbilt and Kentucky.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got that 100% correct.
So what's the minimum number of games we would have to play if we win it and can just come
Three.
Home? Three?
Mm-hmm. Tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday.
Just treat it like every other weekend of the season. Let's just sweep the weekend.
We have at least two games left guaranteed.
Yep.
And – the good news is tonight we've got our ace, Dolander, who's on fire of late. and LSU pitched their who I assume is their ace last night in their game. So I don't know who they're throwing tonight, but it ain't Chase Dolander.
No.
The kid last night, that was the kid that gave us trouble last year, right?
Yeah. But he pitched pretty well against Tennessee. And in the first game of the Super Regional, Mikhail Hilliard, I think is his name, pitched about five innings against Tennessee and held us to a couple of hits. Then we got into their bullpen and won that game 4-2 and then just smashed them in the second game. So we have not played LSU. Obviously, there were some hurt feelings in that series last year. You remember Paul Maneri? They're nasty. Some nasty people up there.
I mean,
shout out to the Tennessee fans who had the Vanderbilt Whistler just flummoxed last night.
We found a script tonight. We talked
about this on the post-game spaces that Bear and I did after the game. But, the Tennessee fans, we finally cracked the code. How did it take us this long to figure out how to neutralize the Vandy Whistler?
I don't know. Probably because this was the first time we've been in the same park with him in 8 weeks. I wonder who dreamed that up. It was very well executed, was it not?
Yeah, I mean, whoever did that is just a hero. Not just Tennessee, but for all of college baseball and anybody that has to play Vanderbilt.
I mean, how does that work? Like, it has to be just one group of guys, like a couple of fans, maybe just two, who say, all right, here's what we're going to do. And then it just spreads organically, because I don't think the groups are going to go around to the stadium and say, all right, here's what we're going to do. Find all the Tennessee fans before the game. Here's what we're going to do. Every time the Whistler says we're going to say go Big Orange, I think like a couple of guys just had to start it, and then it just caught on really quickly.
Yeah.
And then before you know it.
It spread exponentially.
Yeah, we didn't hear him that much last night. So refreshing.
Yeah. And I said it last night. This is a template for how to deal with these people. I encourage anybody that plays Vanderbilt to do the same thing. And if you want to say go Big Orange, have at it. But your own school's slogan will suffice.
I would ask if Kentucky's doing it, but I assume that they don't have many people down there enough to really organize some sort of counterinsurgency, if you will.
Nah, I mean, it looks like opening day of the SEC basketball tournament in there right now. I mean, looks like a lot of friends and family and people just wanting to get out in the sun.
I mean, the coal mine don't close on Friday. Uh-huh. So,
I mean, you see who's in prime time.
Waiting tonight to take on LSU in a late game. And those LSU fans travel too. They take it seriously. There should be some good atmosphere tonight. I don't know what it's like. We're not watching the game down here at National RX. I don't know what it's like right now, but I'm guessing there's going to be a pretty good crowd on hand. I think they sell beverages down there. So Tennessee fans and LSU fans, probably the two drunkest fan bases in the Southeastern Conference. So it should be a pretty raucous environment down there, I would say.
He said make it nasty.
And Vanderbilt has tied it up. 1-1.
Vandy boys.
Yeah. I'd be really surprised if Kentucky beat Vanderbilt. I mean, they don't want any of us. They look at the ground when we walk past, don't they?
Who?
Kentucky. Or Vanderbilt. Now. Saw a little bit of that last night.
Well, the weird thing about college baseball is, I mean, it felt in our two series, I mean, obviously Kentucky was the better squad. We swept Vandy in Nashville, lost 2 out of 3 to Kentucky and Lexington. But in these tournament situations, like I have no idea what the pitching matchup is, so I don't really have a huge expectation. Assuming we win tonight, who would you rather see tomorrow fight their way out of the loser's bracket and take on the Volunteers on Saturday?
I guess I'd have to refresh my memory on who those teams would – who do I have to pick from?
Well, it would be whoever wins
this game.
This game you're watching now, yeah. Or the loser. I don't know. Hold on. It would be whoever wins this game you're watching now, or the winner of the other game, which will be. I mean, it's yet to be determined. You got Alabama, A&M, and Florida. Are the other teams left over?
I don't know. I mean, kind of want to say Alabama just to beat them in front of their, you know, in Alabama again. Just run rule them. Just a merciless beating, Russell.
Be interested to see how Texas A&M looks. I mean, they obviously have the hot hand right now. It feels like we're kind of on a collision course with them. By the way, not hearing quite as much chirping from the Arkansas fans. I thought that they had something for us and were going to see us down there in Hoover. I don't think they're going to see us in Hoover. If my memory serves, that was their second L of the tournament they took. I think they were
Headed home. Now, something Marcus and I were talking about in here right before the show started, want to get your guys' opinion on it. You know, last year they won the whole thing, and they didn't make the World Series. And I just wonder if, you know, I know that they don't – they look like they're in a funk, but I wonder if this is going to end up working out for them because they can go on home now.
Well, and the team that did win the College World Series, Mississippi State, got skunked pretty good in the SEC tournament. I mean, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, they were two and done, weren't they? They were one of the teams. We run ruled them.
Yeah, we showed them the door quickly.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's kind of funny though. They did talk a lot of smack about what the past 2 months. They were very cocky and confident.
Well. This is an important game tonight. You really need to. You do not want to play twice tomorrow.
No.
For so many reasons. You win tonight with Dahlander, and then tomorrow, it sets up perfectly because you're going to pitch Burns or Beam tomorrow and the other one on Sunday. And you get out of the tournament with your four guys all pitching once. What you don't want to have happen is lose tonight, and then have to win twice tomorrow, use both Burns and Beam tomorrow, and then all of a sudden you're in a Johnny Fullstaff game on Sunday, and that can have consequences for the next week. So this is critical tonight. You got to win tonight.
Yeah, you got to take care of your pitchers, and I can't remember who it was on the space. I think it might have been Roberto. He had a really good point. You really don't want Evan Russell spending, you know, 6 hours.
Boy, I didn't even think about it. I mean,
in the sun. And
would we even do that to him tomorrow?
I would not be surprised if we saw. I mean, yeah, you can't. I mean, we got to be really careful with our pitchers and, you know, really careful with Evan Russell, man. That's brutal because it's going to be hot and not a cloud in the sky from here. Sitting down there.
Boy, I didn't even think about that. The stress on him. 6 hours out there catching in the Alabama sun tomorrow.
Oh, just that muggy heat.
Yeah, I don't
he
even,
took.
I,
he's
I,
already I, taken a crushing blow.
I did not see that. Apparently, he took one right off the family jewels last night, right at the end of the game.
Yeah, it was it was coming off a Ben Joyce special, getting foul tip straight down into the plate. And then it just rocketed.
Hello. So, we are live this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, at National Law Rex. First person through these doors to say they're listening to Fan Run Radio is going to pick up a family four-pack of tickets to go see the Tennessee Smokies in action out at Smokies Park in Sevierville. All you got to do is come down here to 11134 Kingston Pike, right next to Wendy's in Farragut. Say, hey, been listening to The Drive this afternoon on Fan Run Radio. Going to hook you up with four tickets. These are flex tickets. They'll get you into any Tennessee Smokies home game. So come by, check them out. While you're here, pick up some generic allergy medication, your Allegra, your Claritin, whatever your drug of choice is. We've got it hooked up for you here this afternoon. Some nasty stuff floating around there. Although I do like this rain, Jake, for us allergy sufferers. This washes some of the pollen away, makes it a lot easier on the old sinuses when you're outside for more than a couple of minutes at a time.
Oh, absolutely. And you're not going for the Flonase every 5 minutes like we've had to the past, month now, it seems like.
That's been pretty gnarly out there, but they can hook you up here at National RX. Come on out, say hello, and they would love to make your acquaintance this afternoon. All right. We've got Trey Wallace coming up for his weekly appearance. I believe he is headed down to Hoover for some of the games this weekend, and then he'll be headed down to Destin to cover the SEC spring meetings for OutKick. Oh, to be a fly on those walls.
Yeah, Trey, no. This is Trey's time to, it's his time to shine, man. He's in a froth right now.
I mean, if there's anybody who can get a small camera or microphone into those meetings so that we can hear what goes down between Saban and Jimbo, it would be Wallace.
Oh, yeah. Look,
he'll be lowering down from the ceiling on a rope like he's in Mission Impossible or something with the lasers.
Ethan Hunt.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, he would.
So we talked to him about that. And anything else that's going on here this afternoon on the show. Let's take our break. Come back with Trey. It is The Drive live this afternoon from National RX Fan Run Radio. Back with more right after this. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, Russell, Bear, and Jake cruising along with you. Shout out to Brett and Marcus back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. We're down here at National RX on a Friday afternoon edition of the show. I want to thank Jets Pizza for feeding us out here this afternoon. Jake went with the Meat Lovers.
Absolutely.
Jets Pizza. Well, you had ground beef, or was that sausage?
Sausage, pepperoni, ham, and bacon.
Oh.
With the perfect amount of sauce.
Well, I mean,
That's my go-to.
Pressure medication, you are in the right place. I mean, you can just walk over there. They can zap you with the defibrillator if you go into cardiac arrest here live on the show.
It would be the first time. One of those corner pieces, though. You can't beat them.
Oh, it looks good. Looks good. All right. Let's bring in Trey Wallace for his weekly appearance on the show this afternoon. What's up, Trey?
Oh, just driving down the road. I was hanging out with you guys eating some Jets pizza.
We'll save you a piece, buddy. Where's OutKick sending? Are you going to Hoover and Destin right now? Is that what's happening?
First stop, Hoover. Second stop will be Destin, Florida on Sunday. So Sunday night after everything's over with. So, yeah, got a jam-packed week ahead.
Trey Wallace on assignment. Well, let's start with the baseball here, Trey. We were just talking before you jumped on. This is a huge game tonight for Tennessee because if you lose, you're in a situation where you have to win twice tomorrow just to get to the championship game, which means you're going to have – we know Dollander's starting tonight. If you lose this game tonight, you're going to have to pitch both Burns and Beam tomorrow in Hoover. Assuming you win, then you get to Sunday where who knows who you're going to pitch. It might just be a little bit of everybody in a winner-take-all championship game. So you know they want to win anyway, but you know that they really want to win tonight just so that they can pitch either Beam or Burns tomorrow, and then the other one will be fresh for the championship game, and presumably everybody will be fresh for the NCAA tournament regional that they're going to host next week.
Well, yeah, you don't want to double burn tomorrow your starters and then have potentially what? Maybe Ben Joyce gets the start on Sunday, if that were the case. I mean, you don't want to do that. So you look at, you look at tonight's matchup. LSU's tough, man. They've got offensive explosion, and so does Tennessee. And I think Tennessee going with Dollander tonight, I think you can try to set the tone pretty early, and how they're going to go about. I mean, we saw it yesterday, with Frank Anderson. He was trying to set the tone when it comes to a strike zone in that game pretty early on. So I look at tonight's game as, if you're going to hang around my big thing is if you're going to hang around and you're going to win the tournament, just go ahead and win tonight. And I hope that makes sense in a way of, You don't want to go have to burn two pitchers tomorrow, and then you got an NCAA regional coming up, you know, late next week. So it takes everybody off their rhythm. So go ahead and take care of business tonight, where you don't have to do that. You can play two more games and not have to potentially play three. So, you know, it'll be I'm interested in the atmosphere tonight. You know, with LSU fans traveling well, Tennessee fans traveling well, you can start the weekend off. You can be here the whole weekend in Hoover. It just tonight's one of those games that you'd like to see. And, I think with the way Tennessee's pitching is going right now, you just try to take care of business and get out of there without having to tear up so many arms over the next 2 to 3 days.
How hot was Frank Anderson? Like, I'm stunned he didn't get tossed. He looked like a man who wanted to get tossed last night.
I thought he was going to get tossed because then he went out to the mound and talked with it just slipped my head. He was on the mound doing a visit, and he took his full minute, and he was just staring at the umpire the whole time when he was taking his visit. So I was like, okay, this guy's getting close to being tossed. Ended up not, but man, he was hot, and you know, so be it. I mean, that was just a bad strike zone last night for both teams. I'm just kind of interested to see how long they let some of these guys go tonight before they start going to the pen, you know, or even tomorrow before they start dealing around with the pen. That's what's going to stand out to me, because if Tennessee can get hot and get LSU uncomfortable, you know, on offense, that completely changes the narrative over the next 2 days.
I love these college baseball umpires' strike zone. I mean, have you ever seen anything more inconsistent in your life? I love it when they will call an obvious strike a ball, and then on the very next pitch, I like it when they will throw two pitches in the same location back-to-back, and one's a ball and one's a strike.
No, that blew my mind last night. I didn't know what was – you couldn't tell what was this guy's premier zone, like what he was looking at. And then the fact that he was mic'd up, I think it's pretty funny. You know, he's mic'd up talking to Evan Russell, and then the umpire talking to Evan says, you know, Luke Lipsius looked like a whale coming ashore trying to slide in on that tag. But, I mean, you know, you look at this and you try to rotate, and there's a certain amount of umpires, officials in Hoover to call this thing, and I'm curious tonight what kind of strike zone Dollander can get and what LSU could do too, because that makes such a big difference. And we're seeing that in many of these different games earlier. I mean, even the Arkansas-Florida game, you know, you saw a lot of people on social media complaining about that too. So, you know, I hopefully they get it just set up straight tonight and they can just roll without a lot of problems. But you never know with these darn SEC officials.
Well, it should be interesting tonight as you have Tennessee and LSU going at it down there in Hoover a late night. And this is, you know, these two programs have a little history all of a sudden, Trey. Everything that happened last year with Tennessee and Maneri, and then, I mean, look, we all know that LSU came after Tony Vitello, and obviously Tennessee did what they had to do to keep him. But, you know, that's got to be on Tony's mind, but it's also on, is it Jay Johnson, I think, is the coach from Arizona who took the LSU job. He knows that the guy across the field from him was his school's first choice, and so you got that whole dynamic going on there, and then it's just two crazy, rowdy, drunken fan bases packed in there to the cozy confines of the Hoover Met. So are you going to be in your seat for game time tonight, Trey?
Yeah, I should be.
That's going to be fun.
Game time. And I think that, you know, having this game too, the late game on Friday night, it gives a lot of people time to make the 3.5-hour, 4-hour trip from wherever you're at, the state of Tennessee. Usually, you know, you can make that trip within 4 to 5 hours to be able to spend the weekend. And there were already a lot of Tennessee fans down there and LSU fans yesterday, judging by photos and then also talking to some folks. So, no, it'll make for a rowdy atmosphere tonight. It should be fun. It's the late game. it's the premier game on SEC Network, and hopefully it gets started on time right around, I think it, if I'm not mistaken, I think first pitch is like 8:30 Central Time. So I'm like, I think that's what it is.
Assuming we get the dub tonight, how do you set up the remaining two games? Do you go Burns or Beam tomorrow? In my opinion, Trey, I don't know that it matters much. I think they're very similar right down to where they're from. They're both big, burly, hard-throwing, right-hander freshmen, and I don't know that it really matters that much. Is that crazy of me to say?
No, I don't think it's crazy. I think, but I want to say you would go with Burns tomorrow and then let Beam go Sunday.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I like the way that Burns throws his velocity. I like his fastball. You know, you don't know who you're going to play yet. And I think, too, you're going to have to remember this. They'll probably make that decision on past games, potentially, against some of these teams.
Who the opponent is, that's a good point, yeah. Matchups.
Right, who the matchup is, how they did in the previous outing, you know, what does that lineup look like? So that's going to be big for me. If Tennessee gets out of tonight, then it's, okay, how do they look at and what did they do in the previous matchup? So, yeah, I mean, you know, in my opinion, you know, do you want, you know, Kentucky? Do you want somebody like A&M? You know, Vanderbilt? It's just going to be very interesting to see who comes out of these early afternoon matchups and then how it plays out tomorrow, because that does – let me tell you something. That double elimination in Hoover, Alabama, where it's going to probably be 92 degrees tomorrow, it's going to be brutal forever. He's got to play two.
Oh, we were just talking about it. I mean, I think if God forbid, Tennessee's in that position tomorrow, can you really send Evan Russell out there to catch two games in the catcher's gear in the blazing hot Alabama sun? You almost have to give Charlie Taylor a start in one of those games, don't you?
I mean, yeah. I mean, but Tennessee's so good. It's like if you lose tonight, just pack your stuff up and head back home, man, and get ready for the NCAAs. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, they got out of the hole last year and made it to the championship game, but seemed to kind of run out of gas on that Sunday. So that's why tomorrow, well, let me rephrase that. That's why tonight is so important, where you potentially don't have to go that route tomorrow. So I'm excited to see what this team can do. And it just feels like to me they're not kind of feeling the pressure is the best way to put it. They're just kind of lax, man. Tony last night was talking about how they held a practice on Wednesday. And, you know, there was a high school graduation going on because they were practicing at Samford University. You know, and just how they were sitting around, they were cheering for the high school graduates, and a lot of the kids got to go out, and a lot of the young players just do different things over the last couple of days. And what people don't really remember or understand, Tennessee has been in Hoover since Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Not like they came down on Tuesday.
It's a long weekend.
They've been there since Saturday. They left Starkville and went straight to Hoover. So they've been there now for almost a week.
Trey Wallace, OutKick, with us here this afternoon on The Drive. We're live today at National RX. Switching gears here a little bit, Trey. We did not even mention this in the beginning, but Tennessee misses out today on Tyrese Hunter. Can't get them all. He nope. goes to Texas. So I guess that's good news for B.J. Edwards. The Alter boys will be quite pleased with that news. We'll see more of him and of course, Zakai Ziegler at the point for Tennessee. And maybe they still find another point guard. Maybe there's another Ziegler out there floating around somewhere that we'll become aware of. But go ahead.
No, well, you got Vescovi. We all knew that Vescovi wasn't going to stay in the draft. He's coming back to Tennessee, and that was kind of the conclusion over the last month and a half or two. So you've got yourself a pretty damn good roster looking towards next season. If you're Rick Barnes right now, you're loving this.
Unbelievable, Trey, as we visit with Trey Wallace from OutKick here this afternoon. Hey, man, look, I've been saying for a while now, like, Rick Barnes roster construction, you don't have to worry about that, man. He is always going to have ballers. They're going to have ballers on the roster. It's just about, can he get over the hump and win in March? And I think that's where a lot of the fan base is right now. But I still enjoy seeing him put these teams together, and not just, you know, on paper. Tennessee looked pretty good. Again, next year, we'll see if they're able to fill out this final spot on the roster as we move forward here. But, Trey, let's move forward to what you're going to be down there in Destin next week. SEC spring meetings. You got the Jimbo and Saban feud. You've got NIL. You've got scheduling. Usually this event is pretty dull, I would say. This is the week where Vanderbilt gets to step up to the stage and get their cut of the SEC TV money. They're going to get $45, $50 million, whatever it is, this year for pretty much nothing. But this year is different,
yeah,
isn't it? What are you most looking forward to next week in Destin?
Kiffin's going to mouth off. You know, he's going to say something down there that's going to draw headlines. You've got the Saban-Jimbo dynamic. You know, and my biggest thing, too, is if you're Saban and Jimbo, don't try to come out and act like there's nothing wrong. Like, don't try to be politically correct next week. You know, we understand that you hate each other, so just keep it that way, no matter what.
Well,
they're
not going to double down.
I know. I don't want a lot of apologies, though, next week. That's the biggest thing for me. Like, I don't want to hear any apologies. You said what you said. Deal with it. I think there's going to be a lot of discussion on the NIL, Russ. There's going to be a lot of discussion on scheduling. But also, folks, have to remember, too, we're now talking about what the future looks like with Texas and Oklahoma. Now, they're not going to be represented because they're not in the conference yet. But a lot of these questions and a lot of these topics that are going to be brought up for the future will include Texas and Oklahoma in the conversation. So I think that's something to keep an eye out on next week is the scheduling part of it. Do they move to a 3-6 format? Do they go to 8 games? You know, how that plays out, what the vote could look like on that. I think they take an early straw poll. I think they've already done that. But I think, you know, they're doing a formal setting next week. And then, yeah, I mean, what's the NIL structure look like going forward? And how can they, you know, if they're going to set some regulations inside the conference or some more guidelines to where we're at, okay, what does that look like? So, you know, to me, it's scheduling, then it's NIL, and then it's kind of looking towards the future when it comes to, you know, you're adding Texas and Oklahoma into everything. And how does that play out, especially with that new television contract that is coming up here in the next 3 years?
Do you buy the SEC-only playoff talk? We haven't really gotten into this too much on the show. You think that's just Sankey saber-rattling, basically telling the other Power 5 leagues, all right, look, you don't like my playoff expansion proposal? Fine, we're expanding playoffs. We'll do it without you if we have to, and we might play you. Our winner might play your winner, or it might not. But we are moving forward. Get on the bus or get left behind.
I feel like somebody got bored and decided just to write an article about an SEC only playoff. Like, what the hell are you going to do? You're going to add 4 games to the end of the schedule, 2 or 4 games into the schedule? And then you're going to go play whoever the national title winner is? No, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to have a play. That's what you have an SEC championship for. Like, you don't need a playoff. We know who the best teams are at the end of the year. So what are you doing a four-team playoff for? Like, that doesn't make sense. It hasn't made sense. It feels like Sankey or somebody is just throwing out some scenarios. And that one didn't make sense at all. Like, I don't buy that going forward. I don't see that as something that could come to fruition in the next few years when college football expansion, when the contract runs out on the college football playoff. Like, I don't think the SEC is going to say, okay, guys, well, y'all didn't agree to anything. Excuse me. You didn't agree to expansion. So we're going to run our own playoff, and then maybe we'll play you at the end of the year. Like, come on. Like, that doesn't make sense when it comes to college football standards. So I just think somebody got bored and started coming up with scenarios.
It doesn't now, Trey. It doesn't now. Like, if you read the Thamel article and the, you know, they gave the, if this scenario had happened last season, you would have had Tennessee playing Ole Miss, like Kentucky would have been in the games. And I think we all read them and were like, that's a waste of time. But when you bring Oklahoma and Texas into the league, Then it starts to look a little bit more interesting. And if you were to bring, say, two more big marquee program, then all of a sudden, I don't think it's such a throwaway. And let's be honest, we're SEC football fans, right? I mean, we would watch an SEC play. We're going to watch. I mean, I don't know how big a draw it is nationally, but for red-blooded American male college football fans, we're watching that. You're watching that.
Well, I'm wondering just how that would look. I mean, I talked to some folks about it this week, and you know, it's like, what are you doing? Are we adding two games to the end of the schedule, and then you're going to play a national championship game? So are you now going to play, 15 games in a season? Like, we're starting to get up in NFL territory here. So I if that's the case, you damn well better be paying the players. So I don't know. Can anything happen? Yes, once Texas and Oklahoma officially join the conference. But right now, it just feels like they're making dull threats towards other conferences when it comes to expansion or when it comes to a playoff. And you know what? Put that on the back burner. If we get down to that point later, you know, in 3 to 4 to 5 years, okay, maybe bring that up again. I just personally don't see how that can play out right now, especially with the way the conference is aligned.
The winds of change are blowing in college football. Pretty interesting stuff, my friend. Trey, travel safely this weekend. Enjoy Destin. I mean, good grief, man.
It sounds rough, Russ, doesn't it?
Yeah, like a little over a year ago, he's crammed into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios with, like, me and Bear and Jake, a bunch of smelly dudes. And now he's rolling the high life with Outkick. He's going down to the beach for a couple of weeks to rub elbows with all the beautiful people, man. What a stunning and meteoric rise for one Trey Wallace.
Well, the Alabama State Trooper already got me right when I got back into my home state. So
I can always count on you to bust yourself, Wallace. I didn't even have to bring it up.
I shouldn't have brought it up, but I went ahead and did. It's okay. So, you know, now I'm just keeping it under 79 the rest of the way. So we're good, man. Just living the dream.
All right. Stay between the ditches. Thanks, Trey.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the baseball.
Trey Wallace
of Outkick making his presence felt. So I missed that last part. Trey got a ticket right before.
Yeah, like
Wallace was at it again.
Yeah, Mario was speeding.
Trey and ready.
Yeah. I mean, when I called him, I think he was just finishing up the paperwork. When I called him, you know, 20 minutes ago, I texted you guys. I wasn't going to say anything.
Be careful. You get that area when you're going down towards Birmingham, and you do that thing where you go into Georgia and then back into Tennessee and then into Alabama.
Oh, they'll nail you right in there.
Yeah. Dade County, Georgia. It's
got to be like 6'4", mirrored sunglasses on both sides. Totally terrifying and intimidating.
Oh, yeah. You get pulled over by that dude from Cool Hand Luke with the mirror aviators. Yeah. What we have here is failure to communicate.
And it's like Jake, some outrageous. Yeah, he has no idea. It's some outrageous statistic that I think it's like over 85%. They usually detect a strong odor of marijuana anytime they pull somebody over. So you're going to get checked out. Down in that area.
All right. we got Joe and Roger down here, and Roger has Jets Pizza, Rog, on a scale of 1 to 10. 11, he says it's just keep your fingers away from his mouth, ladies and gentlemen. Roger has entered the chat, and the Jets Pizza is going down swiftly. Stay with us. The drive continues. We open up the phone lines here. Terry Fair is going to join on location this afternoon in hour number two. We are at National Law Rex in West Knoxville, 11134 Kingston Pike, right next to Wendy's if you want to stop by and say hello. The drive continues. Your phone calls coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. It's Russell. It's Jake. It's Joe. It's Roger. It's Eli. It's Bear. It's Marcus. It's Brett. Everybody's here. Roger says hello, Bear.
Oh, tell him I said greetings. Brett isn't with us today.
Oh.
This is slight correction what, for the
notes.
His
first week, and he's already taken a three-day week, a four-day weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is he, a doctor or something?
I don't know. You know these kids nowadays, Russ. They don't want to put in the work. They don't want to put in the bloods, the sweats, the tears.
They just all want it handed to them. Did you see, by the way, as we get up on the porch this afternoon, did you see what James Worthy said?
Did I see what James Worthy said? Yes, I did. I agree 100% with him.
You see what James Worthy said, Jake?
I did not. What did he say?
Oh, Lord. I got to pull this up for you.
Everything he said is true.
Oh, it's not all true. He sounded like such an old man yelling at the clouds. And I love big game James. Let me pull this up for you. I got to give you the direct quote. James Worthy on the modern day NBA. Quote, I mean, Kareem had 4 years with John Wooden. Michael Jordan and I had 3 years with Dean Smith. Isaiah had some years with Bobby Knight. So you learn the fundamentals. Guys are coming to the NBA who are not fundamentally sound. All they do is practice threes, lift weights, get tattoos, tweet, and go on social media. That's it.
Okay. I mean, now, the last three, I will admit, very lemonade on the front porch with me, kind of. But the first part of it, it has. I think it has made a difference. You've got guys coming to the league that, while supremely talented and gifted physically, I just imagine what some of these guys would have looked like had the, you know, if they had to stay 3 years in college before they could hit the league. So
you know what my favorite part of that quote is?
What's that?
The last two words. That's it. He's like, no. He could have left it at all they do is practice threes, lift weights, get tattoos, tweet, and go on social media. He could have said that. But no, it's all they do is practice threes, lift weights, get tattoos, tweet, and go on social media. That's it. That's all they do. That's literally all they do.
He was just, I guess, you know, wanted to put some emphasis on it. And that's it. So, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, he didn't lie.
But, I mean, again, I'm an old dude, and, you know, James Worthy was one of the immortals when I was, a teenager. So,
I don't know, he is
an old man.
I don't watch the NBA regular season. I watch the playoffs. And if you turn it on right now, by the time you've got that Golden State team, say what you will, want them. I find them obnoxious, but you got to respect them, man.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Just slaughter everybody you put in front of them. The Heat and the Heat were having a very nice year. They've kind of broken down here at the very end. The Celtics, tough as nails, great team. I don't see any players on these teams lacking in fundamentals. Who on the Warriors is fundamentally unsound?
That's a good point, Russ.
Celtics is lacking in the fundamentals of the game. James Worthy, I would like to know.
Well, I think part of that is it's just that's the I mean, maybe right. He had his old man on the porch moment. I'm just not going to go after him too hard on it because I'm an old guy on the porch with him.
We can we'll hold on to that one. I'd love to get T-Fair's thoughts on this coming up here in hour number two. Let's go to the phones. Martin is next on the drive. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon, Russell.
How's it going?
Doing pretty good. I got news for on you about Cade Phillips.
Okay.
He's rated the number one player in the state of Alabama, and he had 109 blocked shots in 24 games.
Ooh.
And he said in this morning's Knoxville News Sentinel that he patterned himself after Josiah Jordan James.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting. Well, and I'll take
Russell,
another Triple J.
I'm going to tell you something. He said in this morning's paper that Knoxville News Sentinel that Alabama, Stanford, Georgia, Memphis was his final five.
And okay.
I believe he turned Alabama down to come here because he said in this morning's Knoxville News Sentinel, he said it was all about the culture and Rick Barnes. So Rick Barnes is going to put that boy in the NBA, and you can bet on it.
Well, you know, who knows what constitutes a real offer anymore and all this stuff, and I think there's going to be some mystery as to how hard Alabama went after the young man. I know this, though, Martin. I like him. The fact that he is an Alabama legacy who is so high on Tennessee and wants to be a part of Big Orange Nation and just his game, you know, I've watched a little bit of the film, 6'9", 210 pounds. He looks pretty strong. He's not one of these beanpole post guys that you see coming in. I think he's a guy that when you talk about development and Rick Barnes's program, it's really intriguing to think what he's going to look like after 2 or 3 years in Tennessee's program.
I believe that's why he came here, Russell. He wanted to develop under Rick Barnes, like he said. He said the culture in Rick Barnes.
It's it sounds like a match made in heaven, and Tennessee's 2023 class is off to a much bueno beginning, I must say.
Yes. Well, that's all I got for you, Russell.
Thanks.
And I appreciate
Martin. Good
you, Russell.
Hear from you. Have a great weekend.
You too, buddy.
865-546-8200. Martin doesn't even want to talk Celtics. He knows that series is over.
Yeah. Win it tonight.
Think so?
You don't want to go back to Miami. You're up in the Garden.
That's true.
You got the craziest fans in the NBA. You get
this
done tonight.
They've won two in Miami.
So, Vescovi makes it official. He's back. And as we talked about yesterday, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but both Triple J and Vescovi could have two more seasons for Tennessee
right.
because of the COVID year.
Is it just me? Does it feel like the basketball team all of a sudden has built up a lot of momentum, typically during a time of year where it's just kind of not a lot of news? Is that because of the portal or?
I think you're forgetting. I mean, this is kind of the way it's been here lately is you see the month or so, 6 weeks or so after the season, it's just very busy in terms of roster construction.
Right.
And, you know, not only the portal and recruiting, but where Tennessee's at now, we're one of the elite programs in college basketball. So we've always got guys going through the draft process. We've always got guys going in early, and we've always got guys going through the feedback process with the draft advisory board. So you've got all these moving pieces. I don't think any of us thought that Vescovi or Triple J were actually going to go pro, but we knew that they were going to test the waters, and it's not official until they make it official. And so it's official right now, and you're starting to see the roster come into focus. If you're just joining us, Tyrese Hunter, the transfer from Iowa State, chooses Texas today. There was some optimism yesterday that Tennessee might be in a good spot there for him. But
I felt like he was going to be kind of a luxury kind of pick if we were able to get him.
Well, you've got Zakai Ziegler, a proven commodity, I would say, at point guard. You've got a top 100 recruit in B.J. Edwards. Vescovi can handle the ball a little bit. Triple J can handle the ball a little bit. And so, I mean, there's four options right there for point guard. And you can also You still got – nobody knew who Zakai Ziegler was this time a year ago. So who's to say somebody doesn't burst onto the scene this summer here late in the game? I wouldn't depend on it, but it could happen. But even if it doesn't, I would say this roster on paper is still pretty darn good and pretty darn deep.
Yeah, I mean, and then – I mean, yeah, you didn't even mention – I mean, we've got Key coming in. Like, yeah, I really feel like, you know, because people were, I feel like, a little bit worried early on, and, you know, we missed out on some of the big ones. And then the kid from St. Louis ended up staying.
Yeah. Folks, we hope you'll stay with us during this quick commercial timeout. It is The Drive Live this afternoon at National RX. It's Fan Run Radio. Quick timeout. Jake's got your top four at four when we continue next here on The Drive.